morning. Good to be here. Good to be here. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sing it with me. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, I want us just to sort of chew on that a little bit and make sure we've all got, I want every one of you to memorize what you just sang. You can do it. Tell you what, men, say it with me. Just speak it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ladies, they didn't do too great on that, did they? All right, show them how, ladies. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right, men, here's your second chance. Come on. Ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You think you got it? I don't think you got it. No. No, better go again. One last time. Unless you don't do it well. That's not much confidence, is it? All right. You will do it well. Here we go. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Man, that's a great Thanksgiving holiday verse, isn't it? Great verse, but it's hard to do. One of the ways that I like to illustrate, it's kind of like the life of a Christian is like an evergreen tree. Other trees, this time of the year especially, they change the color of the leaves and they lose their leaves based on the climate and the season, the temperature, the number of hours of darkness, daylight in a day. But not so with the evergreen. It stays green year round, doesn't it? That's what we're supposed to do. A Christian is to be a thankful person year round, no matter what the climate. Now, I say it one more time. Say it verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, there's six things I want to point out to you in that verse. Seem like I'm stuck on six-point sermons. Have you noticed that? I didn't know I had that many of them. I didn't intend that. Here's the first one. That verse. Giving thanks is the will of God. Isn't that obvious in that verse? Isn't that what it said? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's say I had a teenager sitting right down here in the front row. This imaginary teenager. We'll call him John. And let's say, John, I tell you what, let me just talk to you a little bit. Let's play a little make-believe game, John. Let's say I know God's will for you for the rest of your life. Let's just say I know that. In great detail, if that was true and I really genuinely knew it, would you like to know it? And I hope John would say, well, sure. I have found in my working with teenagers in the past, they're kind of interested in what the rest of their life might be like or what God might want them to do. Well, I say, okay, what if the will of God for you is to someday meet and marry a girl named Jane Smith, and you're going to attend the University of North Carolina and major in chemistry, and in the year 2044, you're going to be elected the President of the United States. I'd say, John, if that was true for you, would you want to do that? I hope he'd want to do that, don't you? I mean, God, the Bible says in Psalm 37 that steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He knows the future for us and has a plan for us. This tells us, now I just made those things up. They're probably silly. But we don't have to wonder about what God's will is on this right here. We don't have to guess. It's as clear as it can be. In Scripture, written in your Bible, it's the perfect will of God for you, no doubt, is that you give Him thanks in every circumstance. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wait till you get older to find out. You know right now, without a single doubt, God's will for you is to give Him thanks in every circumstance. I want you to repeat that after me. I'll say it a little bit. God's will for me is to give Him thanks in every circumstance. That's number one. Number two in our outline. Giving thanks is a command. Those two words in our English Bible, this is King James Version, by the way, that we just memorized. The words give thanks now earlier in the chapter, in verse 12, Paul gave a polite request. He said, I beseech you. Other translation would say, I urge you, I exhort you, I ask you. It's not a command, it's just I'm hoping you'll listen to me and do what I ask. But right here, it's a command. In the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in, this is just one word combined together. And you that are into English and grammar and parsing, it's a second person plural imperative. That means you Thessalonians, you all of you, every one of you, every last one of you, that's plural. You absolutely must do this. And for us to apply this to us, we're not Thessalonians, but us East Enders, he would say, all of you, every one of you, every one of you hearing my voice, you absolutely must do this. It's not optional. It's a command. It's an imperative in the language. It's not a suggestion, not just good advice. It's not just for the super Christian. As a matter of fact, it means if you're a saved person in Christ Jesus, you cannot be right with God. You cannot be walking with God and in His will and not be thankful. And yet, aren't there a lot of whining, complaining, negative, pessimistic Christians in our world? I guess not. I've met them. Hadn't you? You had never met them? I have. But here, it's God's will and command that we be thankful people. Number three, there are no exceptions allowed. You see those words, how did it start? In what? Everything. Which situations are left out if we're to give thanks in everything? Zero. Zilch. Nada. Any way you want to say it. None are left out. Now, that means in the Christian life, if we're like a ship sailing on the oceans, no matter which ocean we're sailing on, whether it's the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Indian or the Arctic or Gulf of Mexico, on the top of our mast is to be the flag filing thankful, giving thanks. That means whether the water's calm or clear or stormy, we fly the give thanks flag. Whether there's sharks in the water or dolphins or shrimp, whatever's in the water, we still fly the flag give thanks. One of the things I noticed as I studied this passage is I started looking for other places in the New Testament where the same word is found. Same word. Matthew 14:19 is one of them. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it says He gave thanks as He did that. In Matthew 15, next chapter, when He fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fish, it says, same word, He gave thanks. Matthew 26:27, in the upper of the room, when they were having that Lord's Supper the night before the crucifixion, it says Jesus was thankful to God. Acts 27 on a ship. You remember that when Paul was being sailing to Rome to be meet Caesar, he ended up being executed there, and he wrote several books in prison there. Well, a storm came, and all the men were so afraid, they weren't eating, they weren't doing anything. He says, listen, we need to stop. Right in the middle of this, I want you to eat something. I want us to give thanksgiving to God. And they did that under the leadership of Paul, under the leadership of the Lord. No matter what the location, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's on their plate, thanks was given. Just as we are to give thanks, not only for a meal, but my Bible says in everything, not just food. So there's no exceptions. Now, if this would be like a railroad track we've been riding on here, first part of this sermon, I want us, number four, to step over on a sidetrack. Sometimes a train will do that to take on fuel or something like that. And I want us to ask the question, why? These first three things. If God wants us, if it's His will that we give Him thanks, if it's a command, if there are no exceptions, why is that true? I want to give you four and talk about them. These are just some little elaboration on a sidetrack here. Why are these things true? Well, giving thanks is a test. You know, in some situations, it's easy to give thanks. I mean, we're overflowing with thanks for some victory or blessing that's come our way. I love that beautiful verse. I hope this is one you know, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's not changing and being that way. You don't have one good gift in your life that didn't start with Him. But then there are those other times, hard times, challenging times, difficult circumstances, where the test may be, are we going to turn to God or are we going to turn on God? You ever know anybody that got in a bad situation? They're supposedly a Christian, but they turned on God. They just did turn against Him during that time. Well, one way to tell as to whether you've turned to God or on God in a situation is, can you thank Him? Can you thank Him? That's one reason why. Here's the second one. To prove the value of our giving thanks. When a believer thanks God in a situation that a human being normally wouldn't thank Him for, that makes the thanksgiving all the more valuable. Now think about it. Why are diamonds more valuable than gravel? Because they're more rare. Why is gold more valuable than sand? Because it's more rare. And when all the bills are paid and no one in the family is sick and the sun is shining and we feel good, giving thanks is the right thing to do, and it's pretty easy. But it's 1,000 times more valuable when there's financial difficulty, or maybe you've lost your job, or you're in pain physically, or there's been a death of someone you love, and you feel like there's just bombs, emotional bombs just falling all around you, and storms. In those circumstances, to find it in your heart to be thankful is a priceless, rare jewel that's hard to find. This week, I don't know who that is, but in this room, there's somebody that you're going through some things in your life that's going to make your thanksgiving the most valuable to God than the rest of us. Somebody's going to, I don't know who that is. But whoever you are, it's so hard in your life right now. If you can find it in your heart to say thanks to God, God's going to love that more than anything else, because that makes it so valuable in your life. The harder the circumstances make our thanksgiving even more valuable. Here's number three. Giving thanks is an expression of trust. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says of this verse, it means not after it's over, but while you're still in it. To thank God in a circumstance that's difficult, humanly speaking, means we trust Him. That's what it means. That He's still in control, even though it doesn't look like it. That He still has great power, though we don't feel like it right. Though He is sovereign and almighty and Lord, those kind of things, He's still on the throne. He's not budged one bit from His highest authority. Really, to thank God, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in the midst of a hard situation, is a test of whether we really believe Romans 8:28. That's what it is. You know what, Romans 8:28? If you know it, say it with me. And we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. If you can thank Him No matter what the situation, that means you believe that verse. Something good can come out of this. Lord, thank you that it can. I don't see how. I don't feel like it. Here's one final one. I love this. This is my favorite. I think this is the most important reason why this is a command, why it's God's will, why there's no exceptions. Giving thanks recognizes God's presence. It does. It's kind of like being in a cold, dark hallway. Can you see that in your mind? And right next to is a door on which is written the presence of God. And you reach, that sounds good to you. I mean, it's cold in this hallway, it's dark. And this verse says the warmth of God's presence. You reach over to that doorknob to turn it and it's locked. Well, how are you going to get to the warmth of God's presence in a cold, dark hallway? Well, if you'll just be careful to check, if you reach in your pocket, you'd pull it out, there's a key in your pocket. We all have it. It's in your pocket. It says, give thanks. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You take that key that says give thanks, and you put it in that lock, and it fits perfectly, and you turn it, and you open the door to God's presence in a cold, dark hallway. That's what that psalm said that Doug read earlier. Remember what it said? We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Johnny Erickson Tada was a woman that had been greatly used by God in our world today. She was paralyzed as a teenager. Spent her whole life paralyzed in a wheelchair. There's a movie about her life. There's books about her life, and she's written them. Here's what she says. When thanksgiving is on our lips, it will bring gratitude to our heart. Just start saying thanks long before you feel like it. For some of us, if we wait till we feel like giving thanks, it's not going to happen. Because our feelings aren't always consistent to that. Here's number 5 in my outline. Back to the outline. There's a little important small word in this verse. It's the smallest word in the whole verse. It's the first word in the whole verse. Did you notice that this verse does not say, for everything give thanks? Your Bible doesn't say that. It says, rather, in everything give thanks, in every situation. Long before you feel like it, says Johnny Erickson Tada, you start being thankful. And that is a valuable, priceless expression of our trust in the Lord. And the best way to turn to Him, rather than turning on Him, is start thanking Him. I love the life and writings and story of Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Hope you've read that book or seen the movie. If you haven't, you need to see it as quickly as possible. She and her family helped smuggle Jewish people out of Holland during World War II, and they were caught, and they were sent to the Ravensbrück prison camp that the Nazis ran. And in going in that prison, Corrie was able to smuggle a small Bible, somehow got it through as they were going through. And so in this prison camp, she had a little copy of the Bible, and every night there in the barracks, she'd gather some ladies and read the Bible to them, and they'd talk about the Lord. And one day she realized, wait a minute, we do that every night, but those prison guards that just hound us all the time and check, they never come in here while we're reading the Bible. And she realized why that was. You know why it was? Fleas. Their barracks had fleas, and she'd always hated those fleas. But she realized those guards don't want to go in there with those prisoners because that's where the fleas are. And she says, you know what I decided to start doing? I started thanking God for those fleas. Now, I've never been able to do that. I'm not going to follow my own sermon on that one. Have you ever thanked God for fleas? Man, that's some valuable thanksgiving. But she realized that fleas, though they hated them, they allowed them to sit and study the Bible and pray and worship together because the fleas kept those guards away. That's amazing, isn't it? Number 6, final point in this message. I call these the 3 most important words in the whole verse. If you had to pick the 3 most important words, what would they be? I think they're these words. In Christ Jesus. That makes a great big deal difference about your attitude about Thanksgiving, doesn't it? In Christ Jesus. Those same words are in, I guess, my favorite Bible verse. I just about Romans 8:1. Remember what that says? I talked about it last week. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, our salvation, there's an exchange. We come to God in our sinfulness, honest about our sinfulness, repent of our sin. And in that context, we place our faith and trust and belief in Jesus alone as the only hope we're going to have of salvation or for God's forgiveness, anything like that. And then there's an exchange that takes place. We give ourselves to Him. He gives Himself to us. Boy, we got the better deal there, didn't we? And all through the New Testament, Paul uses that phrase, in Christ Jesus. But he also talks about Christ in you is the hope of glory. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. As we trust Him, He moves in. So we're in Him and He's in us. That's what salvation is. Friends, if you've got that, there is not one thing you could be or should be more thankful than that. That you sit here this morning on the Lord's Day in God's house. I'm so glad you chose to be in God's house on this cold day. It's sure easy to be other places when it's cold to get out in, isn't it? But aren't you thankful that we sit here not as the enemy of God? Romans 5 calls us, we were His enemies, but He loved us while we were still His enemies. And He died for us in that sinful condition and made us family, made us forgiven children. You're children of God this morning. Have you thanked Him for that since you woke up? Your songs had it in it. You did if you sang those songs in a minute. Now I want to ask our musicians to come and play some music, sing some music, and I'm going to be here at the front. I'd love any deacons that are here to join me. Maybe we'll just be, if somebody needs to pray about anything, we'll do that. But as they play, we're not going to sing. But I want you to see how many things you could really thank God for. I tell you what, I just amazed that God in my retirement years allowed me to live in such a nice home. I never dreamed I'd have such a nice home. I can't wear all the clothes that are in my closet. And I don't need all the food that comes my way every day. And my house was not cold last night. All over Ukraine, people are living in cold subways and things because electricity's gone. And many of you have totally adequate health care. You've driven this week in traffic and made driving mistakes, and yet you were safe. God was good to you. His angels watched out for you as you traveled. Just sit there and just thank God for everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot to your whole life situation, family and work and health. Thank Him. Thank Him.